appearance day of Sri Ramanujacharya. And soon it will be the appearance day of Sri Lord Ramachandra Bhagavan. So we, in some research, we found some interesting points about Ramanujacharya. First of all, that in long ago, in the time of the beginning of creation, Lakshmi Devi, she personally chose Ramanuja to represent. She chose him to represent her sampradaya. In the same way the Lord Brahma chose Madhva to represent his sampradaya. This is how it's described. Lord Brahma chose Madhva to represent his sampradaya. And then the four Kumaras, they chose Nimbark to lead their sampradaya. And then Rudra, Lord Shiva, he chose Vishnu Swami. So these divine personalities like Ramanuja, they're actually personally chosen by Lakshmi Devi to represent the Sri Sampradaya. When Ramanujacharya was visiting Puri, of course he was born in the year 1017 AD. And he left this world in 1137 AD. So it means that he lived for about 120 years. I think that's about the way it works out. He lived about 120 years. And of course he was a great devotee of the Lord. It's considered he's an incarnation of Sankarshan. In some scriptures it says he's an incarnation of Chaturvyuha Sankarshan, which is true. And he's also an incarnation of Ram's younger brother, Ramanuja. So once, as you know, it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Ramanujacharya, he came to Jagannath Puri to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. It's a temple at Puri, Sri Kshetra. It's been there since time immemorial. So he came there, he was taking darshan of Lord Jagannath, and then Lord Jagannath, he spoke to him. He actually appeared personally, and he spoke to Ramanuja. He said, "Listen, Ramanuja, you should go to Navadvip Dham. You should have darshan of Navadvip." He said, "Navadvip? Why?" He said, Lord Jagannath told Ramanuja, he said, "Because that same Lord of Vrindavan, that Sri Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna of Goloka Vrindavan, he will appear in this Navadvip as Gaurasundar, Gauranga. And this Navadvip in West Bengal, but the Sri Navadvip Dham is not different than Sri Vraja Dham. So this Gauranga, he is Krishna of Goloka Vrindavan, and this Navadvip is actually Vrindavan. So you should go there. Your life would not be complete if you did not have darshan." Taking Lord Jagannath's advice, Ramanujacharya went to Navadvip Dham. And there he was wandering around there. Then he had darshan of the Lord of Vaikuntha. Because there's one part of Navadvip Dham. Actually, what Lord Jagannath was telling him, Lord Jagannath told Ramanujacharya, he said, "You're wandering to all these different holy places, but you should understand that in Navadvip Dham, all the holy places are there. All the holy places in the whole universe are contained within Sri Navadvip Dham. You worship the Lord in Sri Ranga Kshetra, but this Sri Ranga Kshetra is simply one tiny portion. There's only one tiny portion of Navadvip Dham. There's just one tiny little area. It's contained there, what to speak of everything else. The whole spiritual world is contained in Sri Navadvip Dham. So you should go there." So when Ramanuja came to Navadvip, he was wandering here and there. And he came to one section of Navadvipa which is called Sri Vaikunthapura. Sri Vaikunthapura. If any of you have had the good fortune of wandering in Navadvipa on Navadvipa Mandal Parikrama, then you have also come to this place, Vaikunthapura. When Ramanuja entered Vaikunthapura, he was so fortunate that his Lord appeared, Lord Narayan appeared before him. And Narayan was accompanied by his Shaktis, Sri, Sri Devi, Bhudevi, and Nila Devi. Ramanuja was amazed. It's my Lord, Narayan. I'm so happy. But then suddenly, Lord Narayan turned, and as he was taking darshan of Narayan, Narayan turned into Gauranga, Gaurasundara, the beautiful golden form of the Lord, smiling, a gentle smile on his face, his beautiful lotus eyes, long black curly hair tied in a top knot on his head, beautiful form and figure, flowing dhoti, blowing in the wind. Tilak, a beautiful kasturi tilak on his forehead. Malati garlands around his neck, kunda garlands around his wrists. Beautifully decorated. When Ramanuja had darshan of Lord Gauranga, he fainted on the spot. Then when he awoke, suddenly all the pastimes of Gauranga were flooding his heart. He was absorbed in Gaur Leela. He was feeling such thrill and happiness. And he started to speak to Lord Gauranga. He said, Gauranga, I want to travel around India and preach the glories of Gaur Leela and tell everyone about your wonderful pastimes. And Lord Gauranga said, no, this is not the time. This is not the time. Because I have yet to... I will come in the future and very soon I will appear myself here and I will wander all over India and I myself will spread the glories of the Lord. But my Lord, Ramanuja said, how can I carry on if I've contacted your... I've had your darshan and now your pastimes, Gaur Leela is saturating my mind and swirling in my heart. So Lord Gauranga, he instructed Ramanuja. He said, listen, you internally, within your heart, you remain absorbed in Gaur Leela. But externally, you should preach this philosophy of, the Shishta Dvaita philosophy of this Vaishnava philosophy. And you spread this teaching all over, but internally, within yourself, you remain absorbed in Gaur Leela. And now, you should return to Kurukshetra and join your disciples. So instantly, by the Yogamaya energy of Lord Gauranga, Ramanuja was transported from Navadvipdham, and he went all the way down to South India, to Kormastan, Sri Kormastan, or Kormakshetra, and he met with all his disciples after having this wonderful experience. This is revealed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Navadvipdham Parikrama. This is very nice, Ramanuja. So he came there way before. Ramanuja said, but my Lord, your leelas are flooding my heart, but I want to see them. I want to take part of them. When you come, I want to be there. And so Lord Gauranga said, yes, tatastu, tatastu. Let it be. You will appear. And 500 years from now, when I appear myself in this land of Navadvipa, you will appear as Sri Ananta Acharya. And you will take part, and you will personally witness and see my leela. So Ramanuja, he entered Gaur Leela in the form of a devotee, a Gaur Bhakta named Sri Ananta Acharya. Sri Ananta. Which makes sense because Ramanuja is an expansion of Sankarshan. Ramanuja is Sankarshan and he's also described as Lakshman. So this is his experience in
in Navadvip Dham. At another time, the Lord Gauranga, he was having... Lord Gauranga was, he also showed himself to Madhvacharya during Madhvacharya's reign, or you can say his term of preaching in India, which was, I believe, after Ramanuja, a short time after. So he also, Madhvacharya also went to Navadvip, and he also had darshan of Gauranga. And at that time, Lord Gauranga explained to him, he said, actually, Madhva, I will present a very special philosophy. When I advent myself, I will preach a unique Vaishnava, a unique form of Vaishnava philosophy. I will take two aspects of each of the four sampradayas, two of the special philosophical points of each of the four sampradayas, and I will amalgamate them. I will incorporate them into my philosophy of Achintya Beda Adveda Tattva, into this Gaudiya Siddhanta, the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Right? You have the Sri Ramanuja, followers of Sri Ramanuja and Madhva and Nimbark, Vishnu Swami. But then Mahaprabhu, the followers of Mahaprabhu are explained in Bhakti Ratnakar to be members of the Nimai Sampradaya. There's actually a fifth sampradaya. This is in the bhav of Srinivas Acharya when he's taking this tour of Braj Mandal. So in Narahari Chakravarti, he explains in his Bhakti Ratnakar, he explains that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started a fifth Vaishnav sampradaya. And it's called the Nimai Sampradaya, although we officially are called the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And that is for its own purpose. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya explained to Madhva, he said, Madhva, from your Madhvacharya, from your Madhva line of philosophy, I will take two points. Those two points are, I will take the point of your complete defeat of Mayavadi philosophy. Madhvacharya wrote a book, it's called Mayavadi Shatadushana. What's it called? Mayavadi Shatadushana? I think it's called Shatadushana or something. It's 100 verses to break Mayavadi philosophy. What's called Mayavadi Shatadushana? I'm not sure exactly the title, but it's 100 verses. Shatta means 100, as you know. It's 100 verses where Madhvacharya takes all the points of Mayavadi philosophy and he completely defeats them. Of course, there's not 100 points. There's a few points and with many verses. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will take your teachings of how to defeat the Mayavadi philosophies. That's one point I will take from you. And the second point I will take from you is Sri Murti Seva. Your service, your very exemplary service to the deity, the Sri Madhvas, or the Tattvavadis, the Sri Madhvas from Udupi. From Udupi, they very wonderfully serve the deity of Udupi Krishna. Because Madhvacharya, he set up 8 different mats, and they take their turns serving for 16 years each. Each mat serves Udupi for 16 years, and it's a very wonderful standard of worship. So Lord Chaitanya said, your way of worshipping the deity of Krishna, Sri Murti Seva, I will incorporate that. And then he said, from Ramanuja, I will take two things. The Shuddha Bhakti, the concept of pure bhakti, free from gyan and karma. Ramanuja's philosophy, there's no pollution of gyan or karma. This is like we were hearing about karma mishra bhakti yesterday and gyan mishra bhakti in Gopi Puranadana, that there was some yagyas going on by some, I think he said some madhvas. But in Ravanuja's philosophy, there is this complete, is actually Shuddha Bhakti. It's pure Bhakti. Of course, their Bhakti, the Ravanujas worship the Lord in awe and reverence.
They're in the mood of very much on reverence. You can say Shantaras. Shantaras with, of course, Dasyaras also. They serve. That's very much on reverence. So Lord Chaitanya took this principle of Shuddha Bhakti. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma jnanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shiranam bhakti uttaman. There's uttam bhakti. Pure bhakti is free from karma and jnana. So he took this principle of Shuddha Bhakti from Ramanuja. And the second principle that he took from Ramanuja is the idea of Vaishnav Seva. We should serve the Vaishnavas. They are our worshipful entities. Dai Gorni Tai Ki Jai Ho. So these two points, the concept of Shuddha Bhakti and Vaishnav Seva. In fact, there's a nice verse that was written about Vaishnav Seva, a shloka that was written, because of course he taught this. These are two main points of his philosophy, to work, to defeat the Mayavadis and to serve the Vaishnavas very nicely. So in one lecture, which later became a book by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, is called Brahmano Vaishnava. And in that lecture, and in that book, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's explaining the difference between a Vaishnava and a Brahmin, or how a Vaishnava is actually more than a Brahmin. Someone may be a Brahmin and not be a Vaishnava. He may even be a Ninda or an offender. So he's explaining in Brahmano Vaishnava. So in that presentation, in his essay, he quotes many shlokas from Ramanujacharya's teaching. So in one shloka, he describes Ramanuja's viewpoint of Vaishnav Seva. So the translation of that shloka by Ramanujacharya is this. This is a teaching. Ramanuja gave this teaching to his disciples about the position of the devotees, the position of the Vaishnavas, and how we should honor them and how we should treat them. Sri Ramanuja Swami said, For the auspiciousness of the world and the benefit of neophyte devotees, even if a devotee or if someone knows about a Vaishnava's birth and he knows about the devotee's sleeping habits and he knows about the devotee's laziness, he should not, in order to proudly criticize, that devotee should not disclose these things in public. Rather than finding faults in another devotee, one should glorify the devotee's Vaishnava qualities. So he was, Ramanujacharya, in this particular shloka, he's showing that we should be very careful about speaking in public about the devotees. You meet someone, either a neophyte devotee, a new devotee, or the general public. If someone says, oh, there's this one devotee in the temple, I met this one devotee, Krishnadas, he's a nice devotee, I met him in the Chandi Chowk, he gave me a book and he was helping me. Someone from the general public may tell you that. And then you say, oh no, you don't know about Krishnadas. He eats so much, he doesn't control his senses. He steals a Mahaprasadam. He eats everything all the time. And he's so lazy. You know, he just lies around the temple all day. We have to kick him out there to get him out here on preaching. You don't know how lazy he is. So this is called, you're finding fault with this Krishnadas. So now this person, the member of the general public, this new devotee, He had faith in Krishnadas. He had respect and honor for Krishnadas. Because an appreciation and gratitude for Krishnadas. Because Krishnadas gave him a book in Chandi Chowk. And he helped him and he preached to him and he spent time with him. And now he meets you in the temple. You're the big Brahmin. You're the advanced devotee Brahmin. And this person comes and says, oh, do you know Krishnadas? You say, oh, Krishnadas, he's no good. He's not a good devotee. He's lazy. He eats too much. So Ramanuja, he warns the devotees. He said, don't do this. You should not, even if you know the bad qualities of a devotee, you should not speak to the general public or to new devotees in a negative way about other devotees. You should rather glorify them and say, oh yes, oh, do you know Krishna? Oh yes, he's a nice devotee. He's very enthusiastic to distribute Prabhupada's books. He goes out to that hellish place of Chandni Chowk with all that car smoke and fumes, and he's really one of our great devotees here in the temple. You had a good experience of him. Oh yes, he's very nice. But generally we find that we're more like the flies. We're more like flies than we are like honeybees. Fly, you know, fly, monkey or something. They like to land on the dirty thing. They land on all kinds of dirty things, and they eat over there and whatever they do over there. And if you have some cut or wound, they will immediately go over there and land there and try to drink your blood or something. But the honeybee, he's only looking, Kamala Kaha, Kamala Kaha, Kamala Kaha, Kamala, Kamala Kaha, Kaha. Where is the lotus flower? The honeybee is only, his only meditation of the honeybee is, where is the lotus flower? Let me go there and drink the nectar. Let me land on the lotus flower and drink the honey sweetness. So we should be like that. We should be Kamala Vaishnavas, Kamala Bhaktas, lotus-like Bhaktas. And we should look for the other, we should land on the lotus flower of the other devotees and drink the honey of their hearts and drink the nectar of their service, drink the nectar of their Vaishnava qualities and drink the nectar of their good services and praise them. We should be like honeybees. But our tendency is to be rather fly-like. Be like a fly. Finding fault, criticizing, humiliating, diminishing, denigrating, putting down. So this is not the teaching of Ramanujacharya. On a day like this, what does it mean, the avirbhav titi? What does it mean, the avirbhav titi of a Vaishnava? It means that he who reasons ill, who say the Vaishnavas die while living, while living they spread the holy name around, and when they're gone, their teachings go on. I can't remember it. It slips my mind right now. So the Vaishnava never dies, and the Vaishnava is eternally existing in his shiksha, Vaishnava upadesh. Or Vaishnava Shiksha, the teachings of the Vaishnavas, is eternal. Krishna is eternal. The devotees are eternal. They're living in a Nitya Dham. The Mukta Jivas, the Mahapurushas, the Sampradayak Acharyas are eternal. They're living in Nitya Dham, Nitya Vaikuntha, or they're living in Vaikuntha Dham, or in Ayodhya Dham, or living in Goloka Vrindavan, serving their Lord. And they leave behind in this world Upadesh, Vaishnav Upadesh, Upadesh Amrita, the nectarine instructions. So on the Avirbhav Titi of the Vaishnava, we are celebrating the Avirbhav, the appearance. But the Vaishnava, he is appearing, and his appearance and disappearance are the same, because he's actually always existing. And he's always, so on this day when we celebrate, we remember the appearance, we remember the sadhu lakshana, the characteristics and qualities of the sadhu. But most important, we remember the shikshamrita, the Vaishnava Upadesh. What are the teachings of Ramanuja? What did he teach us? This is his Avirbhav Titi. And these teachings are for us. We are also Vaishnavas, or at least we are aspiring. We are Vaishnava Praya. The term is used, Vaishnava Praya. It means almost a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is Tatikshava Kurunika Surida Savidehna Ajata Shatara Santo Sarva Sarva Bhushanam. That is a Vaishnava. Kapila Muni gives some of the qualities of a Vaishnava. He has no enemies. Ajata Shatru. He has no enemies. And he's sattva. He's a sadhu. He's existing in the eternal energy of the Lord. Daivi Shakti, Mahatmanas Timam Partham, Daivi Prakriti Ashrita. The Mahatma, the Vaishnava, the real Vaishnava, he exists in the Daivi Prakriti, in the spiritual energy, absorbed in pure devotional service. Shuddha Bhakta Charana Renu Bhajana Anukul. The Shuddha Bhakta, he's absorbed in pure devotional service. Shuddha Bhakti. Are we like that? Are we tolerant? Are we full of compassion and mercy? Are we pure-minded and pure-hearted? That is a Vaishnava. That is a Shuddha Vaishnava. So then if we are not, then we are what is called Vaishnava Praya. We are almost a Vaishnava. So the Shiksha, Ramanuja Shiksha, or the teachings of Ramanuja are very important for us to help us become Vaishnavas. First we have to become Vaishnavas. Vaishnava, devotee of Vishnu, worshipper of Vishnu. And then we have to realize the Siddhanta Sara, the Vaishnava Siddhanta Sara, the essence of Vaishnava philosophy, which is Krishna Prem, Radha Krishna Prem, which is the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. This Gopi Bhav. So until we come to that Param Gati, that realization, we are Vaishnava Praya. We are almost Gaudiya Vaishnava Praya. Almost Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Aspiring Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We are trying. So Ramanuja's teachings are very applicable to us. So as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking, when he had this darshan, this special darshan, he was telling Madhva that I've taken 2 points from you. And he took 2 points from Ramanuja's philosophy. And then he took 2 points from Vishnu Swami. He said, from Vishnu Swami, I will take the sentiment of Krishna Sharanagati, or you could say Vishnu Sharanagati, the sentiment of absolute dependence on Krishna, or absolute dependence on Bhagavan, Rakshishya Titi Vishwaso, having faith that Krishna's, he is my Goptritve, Varana, that Krishna is my maintainer, Goptritve. He is my maintainer and no one else. If he maintains me, then I live. If he doesn't maintain me, I die. Ananyas chintiyantam yantamam yejana paryupashite teshan nityabhyuktanam yogakshemam bahamyaham. Yogakshemam bahamyaham. Krishna, he will provide for me. He will give me what I require. And he will preserve what I have, anything good I have, he will preserve, and he will give me what I need. I don't need any other maintainer. So this is two of the very strong teachings of Vishnu Swami, absolute dependence on Krishna, and which Lord Chaitanya incorporated that into his philosophy. And he also, the path of Raganuga Bhakti, he took that idea also from Vishnu Swami, this idea of spontaneous service, bhakti or devotion, service to the Lord based on an internal rag, a actual attraction and attachment for the Lord, pure attachment to the Lord. This is a rag bhakti. So then from Nimbarkacharya, from the Kumara Sampradaya, Lord Chaitanya also took 2 points, 2 aspects. He took the idea of Sri Radhika Ekanta Ashraya. Ekantiki Ashraya. Sri Radhika Ekantiki Ashraya. He took the principle from Nimbarka of the necessity of taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. Radhika Ashraya.
shelter of Radharani. And the second point, Gopi Bhav. So the principle of Gopi Bhav and Radhika Ashraya, Lord Chaitanya, he took that, he absorbed that from Nimbark. The high esteem of the gopis' love for Krishna, that pure, selfless love of the gopis. Ahoitaki apratiyata. Ahoitaki apratiyata, that is their ahoitaki bhakti. It is causeless and it is endless. The gopi bhav of the gopis of Vrindavan, Braja Bhakti, Braja Bhav. So Lord Chaitanya took all of these things. So there's a nice phrase, or you can say a nice shloka in Rupa Goswami's Padyavali. In Rupa Goswami's Padyavali, Padyavali is a collection of padas or shlokas, Sanskrit verses glorifying Krishna. Rupa Goswami wrote some of those shlokas, and he collected shlokas from Bilva Mangala Thakur, shlokas from Ramanuja, shlokas from unknown Vaishnavas. So he included one shloka from Ramanuja, Sri Ramanuja Acharya. And in this particular shloka, Ramanuja Acharya is very, very nicely teaching the bhav. Gornitai, Murtis of Gornitai, or some of you have Ram in your home, Sita, Ram, Lakshman and Ram, Murtis, or you have Radha and Krishna, or you have Mahaprabhu, or you have Shalagram, Shalagram Shila, or Govardhan Shila. So this particular Sanskrit shloka, Ramanuja Acharya is presenting a very, very nice bhav. And we can incorporate this when we cook very nicely for Thakurji, for Bhog, for our Ishtadev. And then we put it on a nice clean plate for him, his special plate. And we put Tulsi Manjaris, Tulsi Patra. Then we do Achman, and we put the Ganga Jal, and chant different mantras and whatever. Then we present that Bhog offering for the Lord's pleasure. But what is our feeling? What is our bhav? There are certain yamas and niyamas that we do, achman and different mudras and different regulations of purity and time, kalat, desha and patra. But what is the inner bhav? What is the mood that we have? So in this verse, Ramanuja Acharya explains very nicely, and I'll read the translation. He says, Ramanuja Acharya says, "O Lord Murari, as you enjoyed the palatable food presented by the Yajna Patnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, and you enjoyed the meal that was offered to you by Vidura, and you enjoyed the milk and yogurt that was offered to you by the Braja cows, the cows of Vrindavan, and you enjoyed the handful of chipped rice which was offered to you by your friend Sudama Brahmana, and you enjoyed the offering of breast milk from the Stana of Mother Yashoda, you enjoyed the breast milk of Mother Yashoda. And as you enjoyed the delicious preparations offered to you by the beautiful gopis of Vrindavan, especially Srimati Radhika, I hope, my Lord, that this offering that I now place before you, you will also enjoy it in the same way." Such a wonderful bhav and such a wonderful meditation to do before or while offering. You offer the Lord achman, etat padyam, etat argyam, idam achamaniyam, all these niyams and yamas and mantras and pancharatrika vidhis and tantric procedures. But what is the bhav? What is your mood? What is your inner loving sentiment? Is it just ringing the bell? Ding, 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 ding. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Jaldi, jaldi, jaldi. So
So this particular shloka, this teaching of Ramanuja, it can mold our heart and shape our feelings in such a way that they become full of bhakti, full of devotion, and we will very quickly become a Vaishnava, a Gaudiya Vaishnava, a pure devotee of the Lord by following his teachings. So there's one other something about Ramanuja which is a little bit tangential, but because we talked about Ramanuja's some of his teachings and many things you know, so I wanted to present some new things, something different. That's why, because we have written in our Samadhi's book many descriptions of Ramanuja's teachings and different anecdotes. We wanted to bring something new. So there's also an interesting anecdote about Srila Prabhupada in Ramanuja. When Srila Prabhupada was lying in Vrindavan in 1977, he returned to his eternal home. Vrindavan is his home. And he was very ill. He was very sick. So one night in October, about 3 weeks before Prabhupada entered Nityalila, Srila Prabhupada had a dream. Because, you see, Prabhupada was very, very sick. He was about to leave his body. And all of his disciples were bringing different doctors. They were bringing different homeopathic doctors, allopathic doctors, and different kavirajas and vaidyas to suggest different cures. So Prabhupada, he had a dream one night. And in that dream, he saw a Ramanuja Vaishnava. He saw a man in that dream who was wearing the very prominent tilak of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. It's a tilak that you can't miss. You can see that tilak from a kilometer away. Our tilak is very small, but their tilak is very big. There's two, the standard Vaishnava Urdhva Pandra, very broad, very thick, wide, white lines coming down. And then in the middle there's a red, very red, that represents Lakshmi. Very large red part, kunkum. So it's white, chandan, and then this kunkum. Very broad tilak, very prominent and easy to notice. Is it right? This is Ramanuja tilak. So Prabhupada had a dream and he saw this Kaviraj. He was an Ayurvedic Vaidya. And he was wearing this Ramanuja tilak. And he came to Srila Prabhupada's bedside in the dream. And he said, "Oh Swamiji, I have been inspired by the Lord to come here. And actually I can see that your disease, you require to take Gangajal. You should take some Gangajal and some Makaradwaj. Makaradwaj, or something. Some type of Ayurvedic rasayana. Very powerful, rejuvenating type of medicine. Usually given in old age or very debilitated conditions of and sickness of someone." So then the next day Prabhupada woke from his dream and he called Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Bhakti Charu Swami and some other devotees. He said, "I had a dream last night that a Kaviraj with Ramanuja Tilak, he was wearing some Western clothes, but he had tilak like that. He just had this tilak. So please, you go to find this Kaviraj." So then the devotees, they went to the Sri Rangam temple. Because in Vrindavan, there's a huge temple of Sri Ranganath, called Sri Rangaji. So they went to Rangaji Mandir. And they said, "Is there any Kavirajas here?" And he said, "Yes, yes, there is one Kaviraj over there." So they went there. But when they met him, he was a Kaviraj, coming in Ramanuja Sampradaya, but he had pant and shirt, and no tilak. He didn't have any tilak. He didn't like to wear tilak at work or something, whatever. So then the devotees, they brought him to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, no, he doesn't have tilak. It's not the same one. So then he left. And then they went and they found someone else. And finally, they brought one from Mayapur, Calcutta side. He was a Marwari, Marwari Kaviraj. So they brought him. He was wearing this very prominent, he was a Ramanuja Vaishnava and follower of Ramanuja, devotee over there. And so he came to Vrindavan. And when he diagnosed Prabhupada's condition, he said, actually, you need to take Gangajal. And you need some Makardwaj or something. So in this way, Prabhupada, and so then this Kaviraj, Prabhupada started to follow his prescription of whatever medicines he was suggesting and dietary suggestions, and Prabhupada became healthy. He became strong again. So the Kaviraj was staying for some time, and so this is showing how Ramanuja came to do service to Prabhupada. You could say that a follower of Ramanuja came and helped Prabhupada during his last days. He gave him some Kaviraj of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. So this is a very important day. Of course, soon is coming Ram Nomi, and there's some very interesting stories from the one follower, a devotee who comes in the line of Ram Bhaktas. His name is Atma Tattva Das, our Guru Bhai. And his family, he's from South India, and his whole dynasty are worshippers of, I believe, Ramachandra, or Sri Sampradaya, Lakshmi Narayan. And he explained once that his whole dynasty, his parivar, they're known as being reciters of Puranic stories. They're Brahmins, he's a Brahmin. So he was explaining once in Mayapur, he told stories from the different Ramayanas. There are many, many Ramayanas. We know of two, probably. We probably know Tulsidas's Ramcharitamanas, which is called Tulsidas's Ramayan. And we know of Valmiki's Ramayan. But there's actually many, many different Ramayanas. The story is told in the Tamil language and so many different languages. So there are many, many Ramayanas. Not only are there many, many Ramayanas in Sanskrit, Hindi, Tamil, etc., but there's also Ramayanas all over the world. This may come as a surprise to you. But it shouldn't be very much of a surprise, because you know that during Treta Yuga, certainly the kingdom of Ram was everywhere. Bharatvarsha meant the five continents and the seven seas. They were ruled by Ramachandra. So the Vedic culture was spread all over the world, at least in the parts of the world that were worth living in. You don't find too much Vedic culture in Iceland, Greenland, Antarctica, because those weren't considered places to live in. But Indonesia, Polynesia, the Caribbean, South America, and these kind of tropical, warm and wonderful areas, you do find Vedic culture. And many, many archaeological facts, statues and ancient copper carvings and iron carvings of Garuda and Vishnu, etc., have been uncovered in Brazil and Venezuela. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years old, by carbon dating, they found deities of Vishnu riding on Garuda. So this culture, Vedic culture, these are hard facts. These are provable. These are something archaeological remnants from the Iron Age and the Copper Age and the Gold Age of the worship of Vishnu and Garuda and Surya and so many different gods and demigods all over the world. So Ramayana is also, even to this day, told all over the world. It's told in the Indonesian language. It's told in the language of Jamaica and the Caribbean. It's told in Polynesia. It's told in Thailand. In Thailand, they have Ramayana. In Thailand, if you go to Thailand, the name of the roads, if you ask what is the name of the rasta, like you have here, Sant Nagar Road, Main Road or something, or some different roads you have, Mahatma Gandhi Marg or something. So So there, the names of the roads are Rama 1, Rama 2, Rama 3, Rama 4, Rama 5, Rama 6, Rama 7. All the roads are named after Lord Ramachandra in Thailand. Rama 1, Rama 2. What street do you live on? Rama 27. Oh, I live on Rama 15. You understand? You understand the point? The names, the name of the road. It's all the names are Ram. Ram number one, Ram number two. Otherwise, I'm on Ram Rasta number one. You're on Ram Rasta number two. Understand? So, in Indonesia, in the Ramayana in Indonesia, they describe the basic story of Ram and Sita. But Ravana is not this learned Brahmin who's learned it in the Vedas, and he's this Kshatriya, and he's conquered the world and subdued Indra and all these things, and has 12,000 celestial queens in his Sri Lanka. Ravana is a crocodile. You know, a croc, alligator, crocodile. You know, big chop, 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 chop. So what happens is that when Ram and Sita are moving in the jungle, the deep jungle, and there's so many rivers there, this crocodile comes up and catches Sita, puts Sita in his belly. Then he swims to his island of Lanka. He goes to his island where he rules there as the King Croc, King Crocodile. It's basically the same story. So Ravan is a crocodile. So like this, so what this devotee Atmatattva, he was telling all these different stories, not from these Ramayanas, but from different Ramayanas in India. So those are recorded, and I think tomorrow we'll start to tell those stories. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Ramanujacharya ki.